is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Inflation, the Federal Reserve, price of oil, the war in Ukraine. All together now, I go to Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment right now on the remark made by the chairman of the Federal Reserve, reappointed by the president, to continue, Mr. Powell, that he will see we will see a quarter percentage point interest rate increase in March. There were weeks before the attack on Ukraine where the half point had been debated. Now, is this adequate? Are the markets going to be accept this as fighting inflation? Liz, a very good evening to you. The quarter point surprised me, but the immediate rationalization was that Mr. Powell wants to provide stability to the markets. Is this the way forward, then, a quarter point at a time, watching the war and the price of oil? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Obviously, Jay Powell is in a very, very difficult position. Americans want to see action taken to suppress inflation. Inflation's only getting worse. The CPI was up 7.5% in January. Estimates for February are north of 8%. And there is just no question that the Ukraine war is going to make that far worse. I was looking this morning at the commodities markets, and there are some commodities like wheat that I think was up 7% today in one day. Other commodities are hitting all-time highs. The Bloomberg Commodity Index hit a high yesterday. So it's not just oil, it's everything. And I think that the American policymakers are just really in a very tough position because they don't want to ratchet up interest rates so high that we go into recession. And that certainly is a possible outcome. On the other hand, as I say, if inflation, the top line inflation number is double digits by summer, which I would not discount the possibility of, Americans are going to be furious and very anxious. You know, very few of us have been in that kind of economic environment. It is very frightening to people. And I think that, you know, our legislators are going to be all over Jay Powell to make that make sure that doesn't happen. But I'm not really sure that Powell has the control. And we've seen that a little bit right now. I mean, he is backing off from a more aggressive stance. Why? Because they don't want markets to be rattled. And they're aware that the economic consequences of the Russian invasion of Ukraine could be profound. So honestly, I think right now, you know, the VIX, the scare indicator, whatever, is very elevated. I'm not at all surprised by that. I think people are right to be concerned. I'm very concerned that basically the events of the last several weeks will throw us into recession. I think that's now a serious possibility, not in the next quarter, not in the next two quarters. And this is in spite of, John, the fact that we have a very strong jobs market. Obviously, demand remains very strong. Consumer spending is very strong. And yet this inflation scare is going to take a toll. And I just am not at all sure that it won't break whatever growth, you know, is sort of organically coming from the reopening of our economy.
Europe now has made a decision that takes it in a completely new direction to arm Europe again. Finland is talking about, Sweden is talking about joining NATO. Germany and the Bundestag has made a decision to abandon Ostpolitik, to decry Gerhard Schroeder on his Gazprom bank board, and to move to rearm, to devote enormous sums of money into spending for armament, and they're even talking about conscription. However, what's profound is their decision about energy, turning away from the commitments that they've made these last years and asking questions about where are we going to get natural gas, where are we going to get oil. They can't restart their nuclear facilities, but they can entertain coal. Annalena Baerbock is the foreign minister, also the head of the Green Party. Germany, far ahead of the U.S. in terms of green policy, is turning away from it. Do we see any evidence of that in the United States to provide the energy that we will need, that Europe will need through this long war?
Well, we certainly haven't seen it yet. And I think a great many of us were very disappointed that Joe Biden did not take the opportunity in his State of the Union address to reverse course on his war against fossil fuels and his embrace of green energy. You know, John, it strikes me that for most Americans, and I imagine most Europeans, the switch over to green energy is viewed as a painless enterprise. Very few governments have been upfront with their voters about the real cost of the subsidies of wind and solar and other energy sources for which at this point we really don't have adequate infrastructure and therefore which require still substantial subsidies. The truth is America's energy costs and electricity costs are so much cheaper than Europe. Why? A, because we have abundant fossil fuels, including coal, but more importantly, natural gas right now and oil, and because we have not made such a drastic commitment to renewables. Europe has been on this tack for a long time. And again, even in Europe, and even as they must know that their gas prices, their power prices are 3 to 4 times what they are in the U.S., my guess is very few consumers weigh that when they consider their support of the Green Party, for example. I remember writing a year and a half ago or whenever it was that the Green New Deal was launched in this country as a proposition by the Democratic Socialist Group. I remember writing that it's nothing new. That is what Germany did several years ago. They adopted effectively, almost word for word, the Green New Deal that was being proposed by the likes of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But the mistake that was made in Germany is they really didn't take into account that they were not going to be able to exit fossil fuels overnight. They still had to have a source of that. Natural gas and oil. And yes, indeed, they allowed that source to become predominantly Russia. So in our country, it's so mind-boggling to me. We don't have that issue. We don't need to rely on Russia. Right now, we are importing oil from Russia, but that's a choice. We don't have to do that. Our choice could be let's really ramp up domestic oil and gas production and therefore not to have that reliance on a foreign source. We made that commitment at various times in the past when the Arabs embargoed in 1973 exports of oil to the U.S., oil prices went up sixfold. And sure enough, we embarked on a pretty big program to ramp up oil production in the United States, and it worked. It took a while, but it worked. Right now, we could be doing more. We could be drilling in Alaska. There are enormous reservoirs of oil and gas in Alaska. We could indeed be tapping the tar sands in Canada via the Keystone Pipeline and other methods. We're not doing it. It's a choice. But I'll tell you what, if oil prices go higher than they are now, they're already at $115 or $120 a barrel. If the world cuts off oil exports out of Russia, and we lose, let's say, 1 million barrels of oil a day, that price is going to go significantly higher. My concern today is that the Biden administration is pushing very hard to finish up negotiations in restarting the Iran nuclear deal. Why? Not because it's a good deal, not because it will rein in the aggressions of Iran, the mullahs in Iran, but rather because it'll free up maybe enough oil to counteract whatever cutback we see in Russian exports. It is a purely politically motivated move. I think it's a mistake, and I honestly think it would be just a horrific outcome, but that could well happen.
Liz Peek, she is a columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. What we know now about the price of oil, and it's not driving season. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.